Hey dorks, this is Clay from Mahomet, Illinois. As a die-hard Cubs fan since 2015, I can say that Ivy Envy is one of my favorite podcasts of all time. I proudly support the show on Patreon, and I have just one question for the rest of you nerds. If you aren't supporting Ivy Envy, then what, pray tell, are you doing with your money? Ivy Envy is one of my favorite sources for Cubs news and discussion. You got marginal analysis of Cubs All-Stars, like future MVP Chris Bryan, and they've also got a segment called Internet Muscle Flexes, but I usually can't figure out what's so funny about that part of the show. If you're a Patreon supporter, you can join the Facebook group so you have a place to vent when Theo starts selling off all the core players, like that pitcher he sent to the South Side. He was very good. I forget his name. So listen, idiots, if you're listening to other podcasts, I have only one thing to say to you. Ivy Envy better.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the Ivy Envy Podcast. This should be a fun one. As we and the Cubs prepare for the postseason, we're going to share our postseason podcast schedule, and we'll look at how the roster is shaping up for the Cubs in the NLDS and beyond. Many of you know and love Katie Day and her music, and Katie will be joining us later in the episode to talk about her new song for the Cubs 2016 postseason. It's going to be a fun episode, so let's get started. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
Before we get going and before I forget, I wanted to remind you that our sale on Ivy Envy shirts ends on Tuesday, and you can get an Ivy Envy t-shirt for just $12, and you can use the promo code MILLION. I know all of you that are listening are obviously excited about the postseason. I was thinking about it today, and I think we've pretty much all been waiting for this postseason since last October. At first, I was like, yeah, we've been waiting for this since spring training. And then I thought, no, actually, it was since the Cubs were eliminated by the Mets. We've been waiting for this. And so if you enjoy our podcast, you're probably wondering what our schedule with the podcast will be here in the postseason. We haven't really discussed it between the three of us, so maybe this is a little inside baseball right here. Kurt's like, I am not doing it. Sorry.
No. Corey does not speak for the other two of us.
Well,
go ahead, Corey.
Right. Well, if you were around last year, we tried to do a live post-game show after any game that we could. It was live right after the game ended, and then it was released into the podcast feed. So I guess that's kind of the plan this year, and the exception is if we're at a game, we probably will not do a post-game show. And so I think in the month of October last year, we ended up releasing like 15 episodes. And so in a way, I hope it's even more this October. And we really did enjoy those live shows. We had a ton of viewers last year. It seems like we had like one of them, maybe close to 200 people were watching live. And so that was pretty cool. And or maybe I just made that figure up over the last year. I'm like, I think it was 200 people. It seems like it was a lot, though, because, you know, I think after the game, I think people are they want to talk with other people about the Cubs, and they want to listen to Cubs talk. And so it was like kind of a great outlet for us because we were able to take our what would have been, I guess, in our text messages, you know, our text thread, and instead put it up on the podcast. So and it seemed like the listeners really enjoyed the episodes because, you know, when the Cubs were beating up on the Cardinals in a playoff series, you just want to take in as much Cubs talk as you can get. So does that sound like a doable strategy for you or a schedule for you guys?
Sounds doable. I'm just going to miss all the gifts from the text messages, but that's all right.
We can work them in somehow. I'll just hold my phone up to the camera at different points. So we're not really like promising a post-game show for every single game. A lot of it's just going to come down to where we are. And if we're home watching a game, we'll jump into the basements and sit down and record. But I would say for the most part, we will have plenty of episodes during the month of October and hopefully into November. And man, I kind of feel like I'm just gearing up for that. I mean, it's been that case since the Cubs clinched a playoff spot, but I'm still just trying to mentally prepare for what's about to hit. And I think it's like, because the Cubs were so good this year and because the division was really never in question, it just seems like I haven't had that like real nervous energy about this season yet. And so I'm a little bit concerned about what that's going to be like when it hits me, like, you know, the day of game one NLDS. I'm not sure if I'll be emotionally prepared. My nerves will be prepared for that.
Get those stress balls lined up, hang the speed bag, you know, whatever you got to do to blow off some steam.
Yeah, and get the family time in now, I guess.
But where's daddy?
No, my kids will be watching most of those games with me, so that'll be nice. But you know, if you like what we do here on the podcast, I was thinking as we're heading into the postseason, let your friends, your coworkers, and family, you know, that are Cubs fans, let them know about our podcast, if you wouldn't mind. If they're not familiar with podcasts, the easiest thing is just to have them download the free IVMV iOS or Android app, and that is a really easy way to listen to our podcast. So the Cubs, they've clinched home field advantage through the NLCS, although it didn't really seem like that was ever in doubt. And I guess now we're just all waiting on email from the Cubs to find out whether or not we can purchase NLDS tickets. I haven't heard anything. I'm assuming you guys haven't heard anything. I would just assume it's going to happen in the next week or so.
Yeah, I would think we would be seeing it all over Facebook and Twitter if people had started receiving notice. So
yeah,
I would assume soon.
Yeah. So, we're going to talk about the roster, but before we do, if your name isn't drawn for the opportunity to purchase NLDS tickets, the first place that I would suggest going to look for tickets is SeatGeek. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show that you want to go to. And none of those older ticket sites want to change that, but SeatGeek is different. They've come along and they've created an amazing app and a website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and I'm watching prices on the playoff tickets right now. I've got alerts so that I can jump on any tickets that drop to a price that I'm comfortable with. And everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. They do all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best deal possible. They do all of the work and save you time and money, and SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You will immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to get the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and tap on add a promo code. Enter the promo code Ivy. That's IVY. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code Ivy today. So we are recording this during the Sunday night episode. I haven't mentioned that yet, or the Sunday night game. And did you guys see that Grandpa Rossi just hit number 10?
I assume from the couple of comments in the chat.
Yep. That's pretty amazing. I don't really know what to say other than like you don't expect that kind of production from your backup catcher, especially one that's 39 years old. But it's been a real pleasure to watch him play this year, and I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, what did you guys see what the Cubs did for him there? I think it was on Friday. I thought
yeah, one of my buddies really was cool. There. Yeah, and he texted a picture to me. It was pretty sweet.
It's pretty neat, and I really hope that the Cubs are able to, you know, kind of keep him in the organization in some capacity. I mean, obviously, with the former players that they have working for them. Let's see who all Henry Blanco is in the organization. I guess John Baker
that was
is.
Your first. That was like the first well, the name right on the tip of your tongue. Big man himself.
Well, all the backup catchers, Blanco, John Baker,
and other backup catchers.
Well, now hopefully David Ross. It just seems like this is a good This is a good fit for David Ross, you know. And I would really like to see him stay in the organization. And wouldn't it be awesome if he could just go to like a bench coach role, you know, some sort of a role like that where he's actually a little bit more
in the dugout?
Yeah. Like, I mean, did you guys happen to see that video that the Cubs produced for him?
Because it kind of showed him as a young player with the Braves.
Yeah.
Right. And getting his first hit.
Right.
I remember. Yeah, I saw it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. And it was cool to hear like what the younger players had to say about him and how much he means to them. And even players like Lester and Lackey that have more of a history with him. And Hayward played with him with the Braves. But it was just really neat to hear them talk about how much he means to them and how much his leadership has meant to the team and just has meant to them as individuals. And so I think because of that, it would be neat to see him be able to fill a role where he actually is like, doesn't even really leave the team. You know, if there'd be a way for him to still, I guess, suit up and, you know, be a part of the clubhouse in some capacity, it would be a really neat thing.
Man, player manager, bring that back.
There you go. No, that means we lose Madden. We don't want that.
Well, like, what about player coach?
Okay. I can go with that. So let's talk about how this team is positioning itself for the playoffs. We'll look at some of the, the bubble roster players, guys that we thought were on the bubble but maybe aren't. But before that, Madden is really kind of starting to get the pitching staff moved around and repositioned for the playoffs.
Okay, so Madden has so Lester goes tonight, and then Hendricks tomorrow, Lackey Tuesday, Arrieta Wednesday, and then the kind of the oddball is Zastrzyzny will get the start on Thursday. So kind of mixing it up, given the rotation a bit of an odd mix, but that leads with that rotation, then you go into the Red Series, which ends the year, and that's still kind of up in the air. You know, that who's going to throw in those games isn't out yet. But of course, you've got Hamilton, who has not thrown in those previous games since his last terrible outing. You potentially could have Montgomery throw a game. It really kind of,
I hope nobody throws a game in the playoffs. That's like shoeless Joe Jackson territory.
So, no one had. I don't even know what I said, but obviously I said something stupid, and Andy called me on it. It stacks up pretty well for them to go into the NLDS on October 7th with basically whoever they want, because no matter who starts in the Red Series, they've got plenty of rest between then and the Friday start of the NLDS. So, things are looking pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've been talking some for the last few weeks about the players that we thought might not make the roster, and I'm beginning to think that I was wrong with some of my opinions, but Andy, why don't you lead us off here?
Well, we've kind of talked a little bit about whether Coughlin or LaStella is going to make the team, and my initial thought was, well, LaStella is clearly the guy over Coughlin as far as a left-handed bat off the bench. But then, you know, I look at their numbers and they're really strikingly similar in many ways. Their career numbers are almost identical. Tommy LaStella has a .261 career batting average and .371 OBP, and Chris Coughlin is a .260 batting average and .334 OBP. So it's almost identical as far as that goes. So I tried to look at their last 30 days to see who was maybe on a little bit more of a hot streak. I really expected to see LaStella come out ahead in walk rate, you know, for example. But Coughlin has a 15.7% walk rate in 2016, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's really high. LaStella has an 11.2 walk rate. So he has a great walk rate too, but Coughlin's is just really high. I was very surprised by that.
It is really surprising, especially given that he's not hit the ball especially well. He's been better with the Cubs, but he's terrible in Oakland.
Right.
They wouldn't just kind of go after him and never walk him.
Yeah, so the last 30 days, Coughlin has a slash line of .254, .370 OBP, and .403 slugging. LaStella's is a little bit higher batting average, .276, but a little bit lower OBP than Coughlin at .364. And slugging his way down for Listella. I guess one thing is that Coughlin has a 22.3 strikeout rate, though, compared to Listella's 16.5. I think Listella, if they have to pick between the two, has the edge for me just because they have a lot of guys that can play outfield. And I think that he's a little bit more valuable as an infield backup than Coughlin is as an outfield backup. So that's my thought. And the Cubs carried, 14 position players last year in the playoffs and 11 pitchers. So I think that if they did 11 pitchers again, they could almost carry both Coughlin and Listella. But I could see them going with 12 pitchers.
Yeah, I kind of at this point I would almost lean towards Coughlin more, and I don't really have much to back that up other than I think he's done a pretty good job of battling back after a really poor start with all the stuff that he's been through and ending up back with the Cubs. And I don't know. I just kind of feel like he's a player that I could kind of see. I think if it was a very important at bat in a playoff series, I think I'd just rather see Coughlin up there than Listella.
Well, and you know, I think, like I said, I think they could make it work to carry both Coughlin and Listella. And you know, just having those left-handed bats on the bench in general,
right,
against opposing teams' bullpens, could be important. So it's possible to make that work. I mean, then you're looking at, you know, maybe Hamill and Cahill missing the roster or something like that. So it is a tough decision. And then there's the whole thing with, you know, Listella not reporting and stuff, I guess that could play a factor into the, you know, in the minds of the people making the decisions.
Right. Yeah.
And I suppose who they play could weigh into this to some degree.
Sure.
Based on what kind of the opposing staff.
Oh, you know, yeah, that's true.
Righty or lefty. And I mean, if you need two lefties, you carry both. If you don't, you just pick one. But
that's a good point. And then one other factor, too, I suppose, is Soler's health.
Right.
Which it seems like he's been running pretty well from what I can tell. But still, I mean, I don't know if he's 100% or not.
Yeah. Well, moving on, a few weeks ago, I thought Montero was out, at least for the NLDS. But after Friday's game, I think Montero definitely needs to be on this playoff roster. And if nothing else, then to catch Jake Arrieta. We all know that Arrieta hasn't looked as dominant this year. And he's been pretty open about some struggles and, you know, other just some of the things he's gone through, especially here in the last 6 weeks or so. He looked like 2015 Jake on Friday, and he credited Montero a lot after the game. So in the four outings before Friday's game, Arrieta had allowed a combined 14 earned runs, very un-Arrieta. And honestly, I was starting to get nervous if Arrieta, could he be a lockdown guy in the playoffs? But I think that game really kind of put my mind at ease a little bit. And Montero hasn't been catching Arrieta, and it's been pretty clear based on his comments, on Arrieta's comments after the game, that he is more comfortable with Montero right now. And I think the lack of offense in Montero's bat has to take a back seat to his ability to help get the most out of Jake Arrieta. And if Montero can get Jake back to being Jake, then Montero can go 0-for-4 at the plate, and I don't think it really matters.
But lately he hasn't been doing that.
So. Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
He has been hitting the ball lately and even clutch hitting, so
it's yeah.
Good to see.
Yeah, so I think that was a really good outing by Arrieta on Friday. I mean, I was able to watch parts of the game, and he looked much more in control of his pitches, and he looked the way he was setting batters up. It looked like 2015 Jake Arrieta, and
average fastball velocity was up too.
Yeah,
from past couple outings.
Yeah, and the post game was actually really interesting. I was driving in the car, and so I happened to listen to it. With MLB TV, I can't watch any of that stuff. But I was listening. I was driving in the car and listening to it, and it was really interesting to hear how, you know, just how specific he got into what exactly was wrong, and you know that he was kind of. I'm not going to try to like summarize it because I would probably get it wrong, and it doesn't really matter. But he was getting to his pitching mechanics and explaining how when he does certain things, that's when things go wrong, and how he was able to kind of keep everything lined up right. And it's just, man, when he is on, he is like an amazing pitcher to watch. And I want to have that confidence that we had going into the wildcard play-in game last year. I mean, like, even though we were nervous about it and we hated the idea that it was just a one game, anything can happen and your whole season can be thrown away by that one game. Like, we, at the same time, we had so much confidence because Jake Arrieta, it was Jake on the mound. And so I want to have that that confidence here in October this year.
And how great is it though to have like an alternative option to that, that you still have that kind of confidence in, with whether it be Lester or Hendricks,
right?
At this point, probably Lester. But yeah, like, I mean, how good Lester's second half is, not quite as good as Jake last year, but has, I mean, nobody's been that good. So
right,
it's kind of cool to see that even though he hasn't been great, it feels bad to us because everyone else has been so great, but the reality is Jake's still been really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've kind of mentioned Hamill. Man, did he have a bad outing?
Yeah.
Maybe not as. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. He got lit up, which I guess the only surprise of it is that it happened at Wrigley. And we touched on that last episode that he's been really good at Wrigley. He's been terrible on the road. And so you kind of expected him to be pretty good this outing, and definitely wasn't. So he only pitched 2 1/3, gave up 6 hits and 6 runs. I guess it's not a huge surprise given that Hamill has had a couple of these bad outings. But like I said before, they've come on the road. The good news, I guess, is that the last time he went 2 1/3, he followed it up with a 6-inning, 3-hit, 1-run performance. So at the very least, he's not letting it get to him when he has these bad outings. He's able to recover. You know, he's a veteran guy. He knows what he's doing out there. So he can recover and not let the last bad outing get to him. And Madden's kind of indicated that one bad outing doesn't, you know, change the status of a starting pitcher. But I think we all know Hamill's kind of at the bottom as far as starting rotation guys. And it's a little unfortunate to see a guy have kind of the best year of his career and then be on such a good team that he's being considered to be left, not just like moved to the pen to be the long guy, but be left off the roster entirely.
Yeah.
So that's a little hard. And I think we've done a fairly good job of giving Hamill credit for his year. But that's got to be tough for him that he's pitched this well, had a couple of bad outings, but that's pitching. And then he could not even make the roster.
Yeah. I really hope that he does. But that's just kind of I feel like he deserves it. And I think that I would rather have him in the bullpen than some of the, other arms that they could go to in the bullpen. And, you know, Andy and I were talking about this yesterday, and I said, we don't really know exactly how Hamill can pitch out of the bullpen like that. I mean, that's a tough thing to go from being basically a career starter and then going to, oh yeah, it was halfway in the game and you need to be ready to go in the next 12 minutes. That can be a tough thing when you're used to the, you know, just warm up, routine of being a starting pitcher.
I think the good thing is though, like the adrenaline of the playoffs could eliminate a lot of that.
Yeah. So.
And he kind of did a little bit of it last year, didn't he? Where he had kind of like the bullpen start with Hendricks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I hope he makes it. Just because. Yeah.
I hope he makes the roster for sure, but
yeah,
he seems slightly expendable.
Right, yeah.
Given you don't, in a short series, you don't need so many starting pitchers.
Right. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how all this plays out, especially in the different series. You know, the Cubs can select a different roster every series. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. And honestly, whatever Joe Madden decides in the front office decides, if they have any say in that, I'm quite comfortable in the people that are making the decisions. And so I don't really feel like it's my place to second guess them too much, because I think that they know what it takes to win, and they know how these guys are playing. And so I have a lot of faith in them. But is there anybody that you think won't be on the roster that you would like to see out there?
Like to see out there, meaning like on the roster?
Right. Like, well, I mean, I'll go, since I kind of put you on the spot, I'll answer first, because I was thinking about this. And I think the one player I would like to see on the roster that I don't think will be there is Almora. Just because I think that adding Almora in center field makes this like just such an incredible defense. I mean, we've seen what the infield can do defensively, and we know what Jason Hayward can do, and Almora is really incredible in center field. And I think that would be he'd be a great defensive substitution late in a game, because pretty much anything hit to the outfield, you know, unless it's like against the wall in the gap, anything else is pretty much going to get caught. And so I would like to see it, but I don't think that he will make the playoff roster or any of the playoff rosters.
Yeah, that's the name I would have thrown out there too. I mean, of course, I think Cahill and Joe Smith can be useful pitchers too, but it's looking like they might miss. I think Smith, if anything, just brings a different look to the batters. And then Cahill, hopefully the Cubs aren't going to really need long relief. And I think that they have, you know, Montgomery and maybe Wood could do it, you know, if, you right. know, and one of the starters too, sure. you know, John Lackey maybe.
Yeah.
So I think he is kind of expendable.
Yep.
Yeah. I would have gone with Almora as well. And maybe Kawasaki.
Oh no.
Oh man. Just because he's funny.
Right. You know, right. Right. All right. Well, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we will be joined by Katie Day. So we will be right back. All right, joining us here on the podcast is Katie Day. You probably know who Katie is. She wrote the song that became the anthem for the 2015 playoffs by the Lakeside. It's the song we end our Sunday night episodes with. And Katie went back to the studio to record a song for this postseason. She debuted it this week, and I've seen nothing but positive comments about it. I like it a lot. And so she's here to talk about the song, her music, and the Cubs. Thanks for joining us, Katie.
Hi, thanks for having me. I've actually seen plenty of not positive comments Ooh. About it, but that's okay. I felt like I could maybe do some internet muscle flexes about the song.
Yes. Oh, man. Do you have any handy?
I have a couple in my head. I don't want to look back at the comment section.
Well, maybe let's save it for the end.
Okay.
We don't want to start everything off negative. Because I have seen comments and I hadn't seen anything. But anyways, okay, so before we get into everything, let's get caught up first. You've really kind of become a good friend of our podcast and us as individuals in the last year. I was just telling Andy yesterday that I get Cubs songs sent to me, I don't know, maybe like 5 or 10 times a year, you know, people wanting us to play it on the podcast and stuff. And I'll be honest, I usually roll my eyes when I see those in my email inbox. Uh-huh. And I very hesitantly push play and listen to them because I'm not too excited about what I think I'm going to hear. And so I'll be honest, when I got an email from you last year, I was like, oh, here we go. And and then I pushed play and I was like, holy crap, this is really good. And so, you know, now in the last year, I've watched you perform multiple times. You played our spring training meetup. You played in a downpour for our Cubs Brewers tailgate in Milwaukee. And I consider you a friend. So I wanted to take the first few
minutes.
Yeah, I want to take the first few minutes to kind of get caught up. So you left the Bay Area and now you're down in LA. So how is that going?
Yeah, I moved to LA last month and it's great. You know, I'm still just kind of getting my feet on the ground here, but it was such a good summer. I had a great time with you guys a handful of times in the Quad Cities at Day Trotter and then in Milwaukee and again at John Baker Day. It was just a really great summer. So then when I moved down here, like the first couple of weeks I was down here, the Cubs were playing the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. So I went to the first game of that series. And so I was seated right next to the bullpen and I wasn't really planning on doing another song this year at all. I just thought I had tried to do some sort of follow-up to By the Lakeside, but By the Lakeside happened so organically that it was hard to, I just felt like there was more pressure on it and I didn't really know what to do. And I was like, maybe I'll just let that be the Cubs thing and I won't do another thing, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And then when I was at Dodgers Cubs game and I was seated right next to the bullpen and the guys were warming up right next to me and that game, Chris Bryant hit a 2-run homer in the 10th to win. And it was just so electric. And I just felt like really inspired to write another song. So I was just like, all right, well, I better do this fast because it's like, you know, September already. Or I guess that was like end of August. And so I knew I didn't have much time. And so I just cranked this one out as quick as I could. And it seems like it's being received pretty well. So,
yeah, that's awesome. And you know, like your music is gaining some real traction, like outside of the Cubs world. I was talking with a friend and he mentioned that his daughter heard your music on some MTV show or something like that. And she got super excited because she knew who you were. So it's cool to hear your music in other places too.
Wait, what's the last thing you said?
Oh, I just said it's cool to hear your music in other places too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I totally appreciate that. Yeah, because I do have, you know, two albums that are not related to the Cubs. And after this postseason, I'll definitely start working on another album that's just an album, you know?
Right.
But yeah, it's cool to, you know, anytime, you know, but this one, We Got the Fire just really had the momentum behind it with the Cubs doing so well and everything. So I don't know. It's cool that one's done well. It seems like anything I do that's Cubs related, it has a built-in audience, so it's easier to make it
right,
a thing.
Right, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
So you're going to have to write one next year and the year after, I think. People just kind of expect,
right.
expect that yeah. from you.
I mean, I could. You know, this one happened, it came together pretty fast. Like, I put it out the day after it was done. So, wow. Having done that, I'm like, yeah, I could do this again. I could just, you know, just depending on how the season's going or whatever. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe you could, like, if in the, like, I don't know, 10 years from now, the Cubs are having a down season or something, you could write a really depressing one.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I am good at writing depressing music. You guys saw me live. It's not all happy music.
Well, let's talk about We Got the Fire. First off, like By the Lakeside was such an incredible song that the timing was perfect. I just felt like everything that we were feeling heading into the 2015 playoffs was embodied in that song. And mm-hmm. So, I mean, you kind of talked about not, you know, originally thinking that you wouldn't do a song for this postseason. And kind of what inspired you. But can you talk a little bit about like the pressure that you felt to write another song that would have that same impact?
Yeah, I mean, it was, the thing is, yeah, like you said, I mean, By the Lakeside, it was just inspired and there was no pressure behind it and it happened really organically. So it was hard. I mean, I definitely felt the pressure on this one. And I had written another song at the beginning of the year and it just sounded like By the Lakeside. So I was like, there's no point in putting this out because it just sounds like the same song. So with this one, you know, I knew I had to do something completely different, but I mean, yeah, I definitely felt the pressure for sure. But by doing something so radically different, I think that kind of eliminated some of the pressure because nobody's really expecting anything like this. And that also kind of happened because I was working with a different, since I live in LA now, I worked at a different studio with a different like co-producer and engineer. So, and he has a different background, different influence. And so it just, you know, everything being so different. And you know, the other thing is when I wrote By the Lakeside, I wrote it and then I was like, oh, I think Cubs fans would like this. I wrote it for myself, you know?
Right.
And then I thought, and then afterwards I was like, this is pretty good. I think Cubs fans would like this. And then I put the, and I was like, I could do like a video thing or whatever. Like I hadn't even really watched hype videos, you know, like I'd seen some, but it wasn't like that. I mean, now hype videos are like everything, like everybody's making hype videos, you know? And so, this one I wrote with the hype video in mind, you know, I wrote it being like, this is a hype video song, you know?
I love some just of your the choices. Whole, like, some yeah, of the choices yeah. like to, that you put in there, like the like Joe Madden by his van with the Rasta wig on or whatever. I mean, just some of the stuff you included was pretty hilarious.
Okay, yeah, good, good. I mean, the video, it just, that was like, it came together really at the last minute. But I mean, I've gotten better at editing those videos and everything. So I think, you know, I don't know. But anyway, I wrote it and the production, I wanted it to be like super heavy. And make it with, you know, the with the video in mind. And I think that kind of comes through. So, yeah. Also, I've been watching a lot of Stranger. Like, I love Stranger Things. It's, like, my favorite show now. I'm obsessed with it. And I feel like it sounds like a Demogorgon or something. We kept calling it Demogorgon music when we were recording it. So, I don't know. It's just, you know, working with a new producer and having to learn to communicate with a new, like, co-producer and engineer. We just did what we could, you know, it was just like trial and error and just trying to figure out what was going to sound cool and what was going to work. So it was, there was no formula, but I definitely did feel pressure. And then, I mean, I didn't think it, I honestly thought like, nobody's going to like this. It's just, I'm just going to put it out because I feel like I need to produce content and that's it. And then, I put it out and it just like totally took off right away. So it was on WGN the day after I put it out. And it's already like, it's just got so much more momentum than By the Lakeside did for like a year, you know?
Huh.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I know when I saw you at spring training, we were talking when we were standing in line to get food and you were already talking about the pressure that you felt to reproduce something for this year. And so I think it's kind of interesting that you just went a different direction. I mean, it obviously has a different vibe. Like when I heard it, I was like, oh, that reminds me of Stranger Things or like John Carpenter or something like that, you know? But I really I like the song a lot. And so I was one. I mean, you mentioned that you kind of wrote it with the hype video in mind. Was there any other like mood or feeling that you were trying to create with the sound of the song? Like it just sounds it sounds very serious, kind of, you know, not like
it sounds, wait, say that one more time, you're just breaking up a little bit.
Oh, it just sounds like serious or heavy, you know, and I was wondering if you were trying to
I mean, we made it like cinematic, you know. It just, you know, I was working with friends from college. Also, you know, when I write a song, I just sort of write like the skeleton of the song just on the piano and the words. And then I just have like, you know, the arrangements kind of in my head, but we have to just figure it out once we get into the studio too. And I don't know what we're going to be capable of once we get in there. So I was with, it was this, the co-producer I was working with, I went to college with. And then one of his roommates is one of my other best friends from college. And we were just hanging out and like seriously just like drinking whiskey and making this song until like 5 a.m. for a couple days, you know? And so, but it was kind of just like a good hang, you know? It was just like a fun time. But we were making this thing that was like super heavy. You know, one thing is people, one of the main criticisms of By the Lakeside was a lot of people are just like, this is cheesy, you know, this is cheesy pop garbage that's like super saccharine.
Cub song I've ever heard, probably.
Right, right.
I'm surprised by that.
Say that again.
I was just going to say I would say By the Lakeside is the least cheesy Cubs song, you know, lyrics wise I've ever heard.
Lyrics wise. Thank you. I appreciate that. But some of the production I could understand is like really poppy on that one. So That's some people hear that and they can't get past it. So they don't really like take even the lyrics into consideration that much, which is why I did the orchestral version of that one also this year, because I just wanted people to see that I think it's a good song, regardless of that, what the production is. But anyway, so I had that in the back of my head and I was like, I have to make something that's not cheesy or like too sweet, you know? And so I went like completely in the opposite direction.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm a huge fan of the podcast Song Exploder. Do you listen to Song Exploder?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I love that.
I want to hear you on one of their episodes. So maybe somebody listening knows Ricky K. Sherway and they can make it happen. But I kind of want to pull a little Song Exploder nugget out of you. So your music has a lot of layers and a lot of things that really set a mood. And I'm wondering, is there any aspect of the song, a particular track or instrument or something that you feel really makes the song or adds an interesting component to the song that maybe people wouldn't notice on their own?
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll tell you one thing, and I was debating whether or not to say this because it's like this, it's obviously a controversial figure, Chapman, but when I was at that game, the Dodger game here in August, I was sitting next to the bullpen and the guys were warming up right next to me. I mean, like 6 feet from me. And so, or the catcher was like 6 feet from me. So I was just taking video on my iPhone of them warming up, and Chapman warms up with a weighted ball. And so it was so loud, like the pop of the mitt right next to my head, you know? And so I was taking videos of it. And so you hear going into the pre-chorus and then throughout the choruses, you hear that pop and the crowd noise. That's like the snare sound. That is the video that I took. That's a sample of Chapman's pitch hitting the glove right next to me.
Oh, interesting. Awesome. I'm really glad I asked you that question now.
I didn't want to say that because I don't, you know, because it's Chapman.
Right. Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Just, you know, I don't want to be like, oh yeah, he's featured in the song or whatever, but it just is this incredible pop of a ball in a mitt that I captured on my iPhone at a game. And so, you know, I wanted to use it. So that actually grabbing that and then listening to it afterwards is kind of why I wrote the song. I was like, this sounds so good. I got to write a song just so I can sample this.
Interesting.
And so that's like the snare sound that we used.
Wow.
So that's a cool. Good question.
Yeah, that is really cool. So I'm curious if the 2016 team had any effect on how you put this song together.
On what?
On how you put the song together. Like did the team itself have an impact on like what the song is?
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, I mean, the first song I wrote in 2014, so the Cubs were not good then. And so it was more of a song of like longing. And this, I mean, they are real good right now. You know, I mean, they're the team to beat.
Right.
And so it's just like, I mean, I wanted it to be kind of scary, and it is kind of scary because the Cubs are kind of scary.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, I really picked up on that vibe because especially like while watching the video, it was like this team is not messing around. Like this is a team that has a brutal lineup and is very just a very strong, intimidating team. And I kind
of team that's going to take other teams into the upside down.
right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, and the one line, you know, what they say about us here, ragtag kids just don't know fear, because I feel like people still just don't believe. Some people don't believe that the Cubs are as scary as they are, or just think they're going to collapse, or that they're just too young and that they don't know what they're doing yet. And I think I also chose video footage there to kind of show that of like, Addy and Javi and Contreras just being youthful and like sort of taken aback at their own success, you know?
Yeah.
And then you see later in the video, just like there's more footage of just like incredible plays and stuff.
Well, you know, this is kind of funny because I was over at Andy's house last night and we were talking about this idea of like inexperience in this team. And I pointed out that in the NLDS this year, if you count the wild card at last year, the playing game as a series, this will be Chris Bryant's fourth postseason series. And if the Cubs were to get to the World Series, that would be his sixth postseason series. And so it's kind of funny that they seem like they could be inexperienced and everything, but man, it's like I'm sure there's other examples in the history of baseball, but this young group of guys, they have a lot of, they're quickly building a lot of experience.
Yeah, that is true. And they will continue to build a lot of experience for the next handful of years, you know?
Right. Yeah. All right, Katie. So on behalf of Cubs fans, I want to thank you for the songs that you've done, this year and last year, and really just your songs in general. My kids love, like, your music is one of the few things that we can all agree on in our car. And so when we're going back and forth between pop music and whatever I choose to listen to, we just typically are like, okay, let's put on Katie Day and we can all be happy. So thanks for helping us keep the peace in our car as we travel.
Yeah, totally.
So do you have any live shows or tours or anything planned?
You know, I really like just got to LA like a month ago. So right now I'm still kind of getting my feet on the ground and I'm debating. I mean, I want to try to get back to the Midwest at some point during the playoffs. But last year I was there for like a month and that was a long time to be away from my regular life and from teaching also. And here all my students are really new. So it's just going to be hard for me to go back for more than a week or two. So I think I'll try to get back there for the World Series, you know, but if I do come back, then I'll definitely play around there, you know, for sure. But if not this time around, then I'm just going to be working on recording and probably playing around LA and California for the next handful of months. And then come springtime, you know, I'm sure I'll go back to spring training. And then next summer is when I would really tour and probably have a whole new album to tour with and everything. But right now it's just still sort of like a transitional time. So I'll post about shows as I book them, but they'll probably for the time being, they'll just be in LA.
Cool. Yeah. And I would encourage anybody that has the opportunity to see you play, definitely do it. You know, we went to see you at Day Trotter and I was seriously blown away. Honestly, you blew away the music snobs that go there all the time to see some of the best independent musicians in the world. Like, I think people were, really surprised at just how good it was. And like I said, I've listened to your albums a lot and just seeing it live was really impressive. And so I would encourage anybody that's listening, if you have the chance to see Katie live, definitely do it. Especially when, I mean,
thank you.
And I would encourage them to not assume that what they saw in a downpour in a Milwaukee parking lot is your typical Katie Day performance.
Well, the Day Trotter show was really great because they just do such a good job there with the sound and everything. That was like my favorite show that I've ever played. But I actually have a new Day Trotter, that's a session from that day, because I recorded a new Day Trotter session that day, and that's coming out on Tuesday.
Oh, nice.
So that's cool. It sounds nothing like, you know, it's just me with a piano, so it doesn't really sound anything like We Got the Fire, that's for sure.
Right.
It doesn't sound like Stranger Things.
All right, so do you want to share a couple internet muscle flexes?
Okay, yeah. These are just in my head. So the day after the song came out, then they aired it on the WGN Morning News, which was awesome. And then they wrote a story about it and posted it on the WGN TV Facebook page. And Facebook is just the worst. So, I mean, I've gotten a lot better over the last few years at just not really internalizing these comments or whatever, because people just, like, no matter what's on the internet, people are going to say mean things about it. But I mean, one of them was just like, this song, This song makes me want to lay in a bathtub and slit my wrists. That was one. That's pretty bad. One was like, this song is so bad, I bet Donald Trump chose it to be the anthem for the Cubs. I was just like, oh God, I don't know. And then I stopped reading.
Oh, man. I couldn't do it. Yeah, that is hard. I mean, I've read negative comments or things about our podcast, and it is tough to read that stuff. And you kind of have to be like in the right place to be able to find the humor in it, and it's very difficult to get to that right place. So you probably did a good thing by just cutting it off.
Oh yeah, for sure. I knew I had to. I was like, this isn't helping me. I need to just stop. And then that was one of the first things that happened, was that they had posted it. And then I was just like, oh God, is this what it's going to be like? Is that what everybody's going to say? But that hasn't been the case. I just think there's something about a TV station calling it an anthem and then putting it on their Facebook page, and then just people just shredding it, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and they're going to do that no matter. I mean, someone is going to do that no matter what. If any direction you would have taken that song, there would have been somebody that didn't like it. So,
yeah.
So, if you've heard By the Lakeside or We Got the Fire, I would encourage you to check out the rest of Katie's music. Purchase it. It's available the iTunes store. Is that what they call it? I don't even know.
It's everywhere. My two albums are out. They're on iTunes, Spotify, whatever. But We Got the Fire is not yet, because it has to like sit in the queue at iTunes and everything for, I don't know, like a week or something. And because I put it out the day I was done recording it, it's just not out. I don't know which day exactly it'll be out, hopefully by the end of this week. But until then, you can go to katiedaymusic.bandcamp.com. And you can download it there.
Cool.
And so I don't know what to
do. And can people, are you still selling your It's About Damn Time shirts?
I am. Yeah. I got a repost about that. Yeah. So I got a new shipment because I was running out. And so I have all sizes, small through double XL. And they just say in red, it's like a blue baseball tee. So white with blue sleeves. And it says in red, It's About Damn Time on the front. And then on the back, it's blue, Fly the W. So at katiedaymusic.com, those shirts are up there. Or you could just, you know, on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or whatever, you can just direct message me and buy one of those. So they're $20.
Cool. So where can people follow you? You mentioned Twitter and Instagram. What's your handle on there?
So for both of those, I'm at Katie Day Music. And it's Katie with a K. And then on Facebook, it's facebook.com/KatieDayMusic. And those are really the best places to follow me. Instagram is the one that I probably use the most. And then Facebook and Twitter, I'll promote things, but they get a little bit more lost in the shuffle, I think, on there.
Right. Yeah. All right, Katie. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast. It was great to catch up with you. And here's hoping that we run into you in late October for that series.
I have tickets for NLCS here, you know, I got, cause it's easy to get in the Dodgers lottery.
Right.
So I got all four games for the NLCS. If the Dodgers are playing the Cubs, so you guys got to get out here for that.
I'm trying to figure out how to make it work. It's maybe at about 18% chance right now, but I'm working on
That's really specific.
All right.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
I'll see you guys in October. And if not, I'm sure I'll see you in March.
Yep. Sounds good. All right. Take it easy, Katie.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. So we're going to wrap the show up here with some internet muscle flexes. I have several.
Yeah, I've got one that's kind of like a stream of conversation.
Yeah, that's kind of the way mine is, like one of mine. And then I have another one. Andy, you have some too, right?
I just have one.
Okay. How about I'll do one? Oh, man. Somebody sent this in, and now I cannot. I'm sorry. I wish I could give credit to who sent this in, and I have no idea because I just copied and pasted the muscle flex, and I don't even know if I got it in my email or Facebook or what. So I apologize. It was a really good one, and I wish I could give credit. But it was a picture, I think it was from Instagram. It was a picture of Rizzo and his girlfriend. And the commenter, I'm going to go ahead and share their name just because I found that to be funny. No, it was from Twitter, I think. Anyways, the username, well, not the handle, but you know, like you can put your real name in there. It is Ho Madden. <That's> the, and the username is at Humped.
What?
Yeah. So I don't know. It kind of gives you an idea of what we're dealing with. So again, remember picture of Rizzo and his girlfriend, and Ho Madden simply says she's ugly.
Is that like the classic takes one to know one?
She didn't say Beethoven better.
No. So that gets us warmed up. So I don't know. One of you guys.
All right, I'll jump in because this is really not a traditional flex, but I find it kind of hilarious given the point we are in the season that this came from an article on Cubs.com, one of those shared ones that goes on both sites. And these are Cardinal fans discussing the game where the Cubs lost. And it starts out with Teacher Annie saying, genetically, I have an iron stomach. We can eat poison and live. Yet this season might give me an ulcer. And then Georgie Bird follows it up with, drink a lot of milk. And Teacher, or then Cash Card says, that's why Big Pharma invented Nexium and related meds. And Teacher Annie's like, what? I'm a yogurt gal. Dislike milk. And then finally somebody else chimes in and says, yum, yogurt for me, please. So I just kind of thought it was awesome that, you know, on September 24th, I think is when this was posted, that this is what Cardinal fans are talking about right now, September 24th.
Yogurt
and please.
And I think that's fantastic.
All right, go ahead, Andy.
All right, here's my first commenter on this Instagram photo of Lupe Fiasco, the rapper, who threw out a pitch. I think he threw out a pitch at Wrigley one day, something like that. Anyway, this commenter says, just because you do great in the regular season doesn't mean you'll do great in the playoffs, but I don't expect you to know since your team is never in the playoffs. And the response is 1906, 1907, 1908, 1910, 1918, 1929, 1932, 1935, 38, 45, 84, 89, 98, 2003, 2007, 2008, 2015. But you know the Cubs are never in the playoffs.
Oh, man.
I just thought that was a good party flex. No, it's a list flex. Right.
Oh, man.
It's an evidence flex.
Okay, so I've got a string of them here. Actually, no. Okay, I'm going to work up. I realize I have another one here. So this is like directed at the Cubs Twitter. So the Cubs posted on Twitter and it said, the Cubs win streak is snapped at 4 games. And a Cubs fan responds by saying, World Series favorite, my ass.
What?
And to kind of go along with that, these are comments, and I think these are from Twitter. Yeah, they're from Twitter. And this is a Cubs fan that says this stuff. So it kind of gets in an argument on Twitter about his philosophy or his opinion. So it starts off by saying, throw a breaking ball down to Adams. He swings at everything. Now Rondon is absolutely awful. This team is a wreck. And so people obviously kind of call him out a little bit. He follows that up by saying, I was hoping the Cubs could slam the door on the Cardinals, but they've chosen disaster instead.
Chosen it. Right. Stop choosing disaster.
Because they lost a game. They lost Saturday. They've chosen disaster. Again, these are from Saturday's game, and it says, the Cardinals are destroying the Cubs today. They are always more focused and driven. Cubs won't beat them. Except they did.
Just did in the first game.
And they did in the playoffs last year. Yeah. Oh, good stuff. Internet muscle flexes, like, I mean, in a way, it's really kind of like warms my heart to know that we can have a team that could win like more than 100 games and we can still have people muscle flexing. about how bad the team is.
Oh my God.
Because remember,
in Cubs fan, right, of all people.
Right. Because remember, we kind of started this thing. The idea was that, like, it was people that didn't really understand or buy into the rebuild and things. Like, that was kind of why we started this segment, right? It was like,
well, a lot of it before was so many, like, front office haters about Theo and the rebuild and,
right, yeah,
so much of that. Yeah.
And we prophesied that these, you know, those type of people would still be around no matter what level of success the Cubs achieve.
That's true. Yeah.
And that prophecy appears to be coming true.
Right. For the most part, yeah, but the traditional, like, the kings of the Cubs message board or whatever news comments have kind of faded off, and the dunces and the next have kind of gone away.
Huh. See, and I don't even ever go look at Cubs.com anymore, so, but
yeah, they've retired.
Right. Well, I think the takeaway from this episode, guys, is that this team is a wreck. And
they're backing and limping into the playoffs.
They've chosen disaster.
I love you, but I've chosen disaster. Remember that band?
All right, so that does it for this episode, which was made possible by all of our Patreon supporters. All the perks are being sent out. I packaged a bunch up today. I'll do the rest tomorrow. And if you like what we're doing here and you want to help us pay the podcasting bills, keep this podcast improving, and help us with our live events and everything, then consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can learn more at patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. And we have some new Patreon supporters to thank. Amy, who did not provide her location, so I can't send her perks out. So, Amy, if you're listening, get me your address so I can get those sent out to you. Clark from Riceville, Iowa, and Kevin from Scarsdale, New York. So thanks to Amy, Clark, and Kevin. And thanks to Katie Day for coming on this episode. It was nice to catch up with her and talk with her about her new song, We Got the Fire. Thank you for downloading this episode, and we'll be back with another episode in the middle of the week. And until then, go Cubs.
One for the money. Here we go. All that draining, praying, daydreams I can taste from this gown of lips. So come on, get ready for the show. Generations waited patient. I would say that it's about damn time. Feel it down in my soul. Destiny's calling, take the line. God is witness, can we win this just one time before my father dies? City wants it more. gonna watch it burn. Gonna watch it burn. Gonna watch it burn. Watch it.
What was that?
Sorry about that. A little bottle plug. I wish I knew how to mute this.
All right, here we go.
I'm going to do it again.
No, go ahead. Seriously.
All right.